Blog Talk Radio.
Today, we thank you for tuning in. We thank you for the support. We thank you for everything that you've given us and done for us over the past year and change. And, you know, we want to let you know how much we do appreciate you. And we are here to challenge you to think and live for yourself, not convert you. And, you know, today's topic so far is already proving to be interesting. So I'm expecting a very interesting, a good show today. So thank you again for tuning in. But let's talk a little bit about what happened this week. The Affordable Care Bill, hey, it is now law. The Supreme Court of our country, they upheld the mandate. And I'm just absolutely thrilled about this because, you know, the ramifications of this are going to be far-reaching. There are a lot of disparities in healthcare regarding, you know, certain communities, minority communities in particular, and in poor communities. You know, economically disadvantaged communities aren't just minority communities. There are, you know, white communities that are economically disadvantaged as well, and this is going to help them as well. People will be able to go and get the health care that they need. They'll be able to get the coverage needed. You won't have people dying from, well, I can't say you won't, but this will alleviate some of the statistics anyway, that, you know, people dying from hypertension and diabetes and, you know, in some cases even, you know, other just minor issues. This will be able to afford people to be able to go to the doctor, get the treatment that they need, get the medications needed in order for them to be able to, you know, be healthy. And this is just wonderful. They can't deny you if you have pre-existing conditions now. Kids or young adults will be able to stay on their parents' policies until they're 26 years of age, and it opens up a lot of other opportunities as well. So, you know, hopefully this will, you know, address some other issues in these particular communities. Maybe now there will be more health care providers in these disadvantaged communities as well, because that's also part of the problem. I was having this discussion with someone the other day regarding birth control and, you know, health care. And there are not a lot of facilities in minority or economically disadvantaged neighborhoods. So hopefully with the passage of this, they'll be able to open up more health care centers, you know, more centers in which people can go to the clinic and just get regular everyday treatment, you know, and teach people the difference between going to acute care and emergency. You know, sometimes people will go to the emergency room when they could possibly go to acute care to get whatever, you know, ailment they may have rectified. So, I mean, again, it's about, you know, education, and it's fantastic. Yeah, and Raina put in a room that contraception will be available and will be able to be obtained with no copay. So that is excellent. So that kind of circumvents the issue with the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was giving them a hard time about this bill because they didn't want to, you know, deal with the birth control issue. Well, they wanted to deal with it. Basically, their thing is that they don't want birth control. And it's just amazing, you know, what this law is going to do. And it's going to help a lot of people. So, you know, I want you all to definitely stay tuned for that, pay attention to what's happening. And, you know, that was a great decision. I was very happy about that. What I find interesting is Mitt Romney and a lot of the Republicans are vowing to repeal the health care law, and especially Romney. I'm not understanding, because this health care law basically was built on what he had passed in Massachusetts. And even in Massachusetts, they have a single-payer option. This bill does not have one. Who knows, maybe later on down the line, they'll be able to rectify that. But, you know, again, it's just, it's been interesting. Let's see here. Free-thinking lady says, you know, there are a lot of states that are going to refuse to participate. And, again, you know, that's the beauty of that bill. There are states that can refuse to participate. However, in the case of Medicare and Medicaid, it's going to be 100% subsidized for a certain number of years. And then I believe it only goes down to like 80%, maybe 70%. I don't have the stats in front of me. But even then, you know, the federal government is going to underwrite, you know, the majority of that cost. So, again, we'll see how this works out, and I'm just happy that, you know, again, it passed, and now people will be able to get the health care that they deserve and that they need. Because, again, for many of us in this country, you know, we work hard, we pay our taxes, we, you know, basically, you know, we've done a lot of what has been asked of us. And in some events, you know, we weren't able to get any type of help. In the event that you become unemployed and uninsured, you're kind of, you know, SOL. The young man, his name was, I believe it was Marcellus Evans, and he was the one standing next to President Obama when he signed the original bill into, you know, law. Basically, that young man, his mom died because she had pulmonary hypertension. You know, she had a heart condition, and she had missed so much work, you know, so many days from work, that they terminated her, which terminated her health insurance, and she died from that. And it's a very treatable condition, but she lost her life. So it was just interesting, and it was, you know, I was happy to see this pass, and I saw the young man on a couple of different talk shows, you know, talking about this. And so I was very happy for him and his family that he was able to be a part of history, you know, something very positive. And, you know, I'm sure his mother would have been very proud of him because he's been working hard. Seems like a really nice young man. Our call-in number is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about Rhode Island. They passed a homeless bill of rights. So basically, they're talking about these different cities, and I'm seeing this firsthand, not only in Chicago but also Atlanta, whereas they passed laws against panhandling and outdoor sleeping and, and not really facilitating any type of transitional accommodations for people that are homeless. In many cases, if you go back and you look at the 80s and look at Ronald Reagan, he closed down a lot of those transient hotels. And many of these people used to stay at a transient hotel. It was very affordable for them to be able to live there and be able to live, have a roof over their head, have shelter, and be able to participate in the programs available. Because there are some programs out there, if you do not have a physical address, you cannot participate, which puts them at a disadvantage. Also, there are some people out there that are part of the homeless population that have mental health issues. And mental health money, basically the funding for that, has been decreasing over the years. So some of these people aren't getting the treatment and medications that they need. And then now some of them are homeless, and it's just, turning into a really big mess here. But the new law in Rhode Island prohibits governments, police, healthcare workers, landlords, or employers from treating homeless people unfairly because of their housing status. So just wanted to let you know that, they've made some progress, and hopefully we'll be able to pass that across this country and be able to implement some new programs to help some of these people, not only with their homeless issues, but also with the mental health care issue. In some cases, some of these people need some additional assistance in money management, learning how to manage their money. I mean, there are a bevy of different reasons as to why people become homeless. And I just feel that we need to talk to these people and possibly help them as much as we can. So, I'm just, really, excited about seeing some of the progress that we're making. There are some people who aren't happy about the health care bill, but overall, this is truly going to help a lot of people, in theory again. It should bring down the cost of health insurance, and so that should be beneficial to all. On the day that the Supreme Court made the mandate legal, basically, or upheld the mandate, the stocks went through the roof, for insurance companies and hospitals. A lot of people don't realize that some of these hospitals and insurance companies are, publicly traded. So, we need to understand all of that. So, anyway, it's absolutely more to this than what most people realize. But anyway, today our topic is LGBTQIA in a free thought community, and not just a free thought community, just across the board. And I just thought it was important that we define these terms and discuss what's happening here. So not only, defining LGBTQIA, also defining sex and gender, discussing the difference between sex and gender, because there is a difference between sex and gender, and we need to understand that. And also we want to talk about heterosexism and the results of it, homophobia. And it's interesting because these are things that definitely need to be talked about. And in many cases, especially, in the minority community, it's just some of this is swept under the rug. And what's happening nowadays with the LGBTQ community pushing for equal rights, is bringing it to the forefront. And, what kind of perplexes me is why does the LGBTQ community have to fight for equal rights? It should just be a given. So it's just interesting. When you look at all of this and we're having to go through this, and this is nothing new. This has been going on for a while, and we just need to deal with it. So, hey, it is interesting. It is interesting. But we can go on and we can start defining some of these terms. But again, before we get started, the call-in number is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. So, you know, let's talk about the term lesbian. Basically, lesbian is a term used to describe female-identified people attracted romantically, erotically, and or emotionally to other female-identified people. The term lesbian is derived from the name of the Greek island of Lesbos, and as such is something considered a Eurocentric category that does not necessarily represent identities of African Americans and other non-European ethnic groups. This being said, individual female-identified people from diverse ethnic groups, including African Americans, embrace the term lesbian as an identity label. And so, you know, that's one definition. Another definition here is a girl or woman who has significant to oneself sexual or romantic attractions primarily to members of the same gender or sex, or who identifies as a member of the lesbian community. So, again, you know, those are a couple of the definitions there that we have. And, yeah, it should be interesting. Have some people in the chat room talking about they're hoping that, you know, certain people don't call and try. But no, you know, we have control of the switchboard, and, you know, we're going to have some order in here today. Anyway, let's define G for gay. And, again, gay can mean G can mean genderqueer, but, you know, most people consider it as gay. And one definition for that is one who has significant, again, to oneself, sexual or romantic attractions, primarily to members of the same gender or sex, or who identifies as a member of the gay community, maybe of any gender identity, but is often used to refer to gay males. So that's one definition there. Another definition that we have here is a term used in some cultural settings to represent males who are attracted to males in a romantic, erotic, and or emotional sense. Not all men who engage in homosexual behavior identify as gay, and as such, this label should be used with caution. Another definition, term used to refer to the LGBTQI community as a whole or an individual identity label for anyone who does not identify as heterosexual. So that's another definition for gay. B, for bisexual, the definition for that is a person emotionally, physically, and or sexually attracted to males or men and females or women. This attraction does not have to be equally split between genders, and there may be a preference for one gender over others. And, you know, I'm trying to give you all a few different definitions here so that, you know, again, we can address it, and, you know, if people want to call in, you can call in if you have a different type of definition or if you want to put it in a chat room. Another definition is one who has significant, you know, to oneself, sexual or romantic attractions to a member of both the same gender and or sex and another gender and or sex, or who identifies as a member of the bisexual community. And, you know, one of the conversations I was having on the event page, a young man was saying that, you know, it's the LGBT community, and he basically was stating that queer was an umbrella term, which is somewhat correct, but he was excluding intersex and asexual, and I feel that that's discriminatory on his face. Intersex and asexual people have been a part of this community, you know, ever since I can remember. So, you know, again, you know, there was a controversy for a while in which they wanted to exclude transgendered, transsexual people. And, you know, I've heard from trans people saying that they don't necessarily feel as though they are a part of the community. Now, this is not all. This is just a few people that I've spoken with, and they feel as though they're not a part of the community because the majority of the resources and the conversations are geared toward, you know, LGB, you know, lesbian, gay, and bisexual. So we have to do a little bit more to be inclusive, to let people know that they are a part of this community. Transgender, because there's a difference between transgender and transsexual, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I'll define the term. Transgender, a person who transgresses gender norms and self-identifies as transgender, often used as an umbrella term which can, but does not necessarily, include androgynies, cross-dressers, genderqueers, non, bi, or third gendered people, drag queens and kings, men, women, two-spirited people, gender benders, intersex people, transsexuals, and others. Transgender people can have any sexual orientation. And from, you know, my relations with people, dealing with people, there are some transgender people that some others would consider heterosexual. It's really interesting. But again, you know, I'm just giving some general definitions here. Another one is, another definition for transgender is a person who lives as a member of a gender other than that expected based on anatomical sex. Sexual orientation varies and is not dependent on gender identity. So we have that definition there, and we're going to go ahead and define transsexual as well to show the difference between the two. A transsexual is a person who identifies psychologically as a gender or sex other than the one to which they were assigned at birth. Transsexuals often wish to transform their bodies hormonally and surgically to match their inner sense of gender and sex. Another definition for that, for transsexual, is one who changes one's sex to align with one's gender identity. People who live as a member of a different gender than they were assigned at birth prefer to be called man or woman as appropriate for their chosen gender. And this may be of any gender identity. So, you know, I just want to make sure you understand the difference between transsexual and transgender. And even with the definition of transsexual here, it's showing you the difference between sex and gender, which is something that we'll get into a little bit later. And again, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, you know, this is a very, very, you know, real topic. And yes, you know, it does seem to be an invisibility within the LGBT community, within, you know, somewhat the free thought community, and we definitely, you know, need to talk about this. It says here, I've heard bisexuals and pansexuals complain about the same thing, about not being included in the LGBT community, being invisible within the LGBT community. And bisexuals, you know, from my relationships with different people, and in particular people who identify as bisexual, and this is not a blanket statement, this is just the opinion of a few, not all bisexuals, but they feel as though they are invisible or disregarded because they happen to be attracted to both sexes. And, you know, from my experience with some of my, you know, friends and associates, there are some lesbians and gay men who will not date, you know, bisexuals because, you know, they feel as though that individual, you know, has the capacity or may have the tendency to switch on them. So it's just interesting, you know, again, how we identify ourselves within our community, because, again, with different, you know, labels within that particular acronym, it can get confusing. Even for people within this community, it can get very, very confusing. So it's just interesting, you know, just looking at all of this. And, you know, definitely, I just want to define the terms, so that people can understand what's happening. You know, let's go ahead and define genderqueer as well, because that's another term that's also used for the G, not just gay, but, you know, some people use genderqueer. And genderqueer is defined as a gender diverse person whose gender identity is neither male nor female, is between or beyond genders, or is some combination of genders. This identity is usually related to or in reaction to the social construction of gender stereotypes in the gender binary system. Another definition is a genderqueer is a person who feels they don't fit in society's gender binary. Often, but not always, this identity includes a political desire to challenge society's gender norms and gender identity. So we have that there. And again, you know, we have, you know, the different letters, different, you know, categories to this acronym, and it's turning out to be a really, really long acronym. The young man who was speaking earlier on the events page, he was saying just LGBT, and that's the shortened version. And, you know, again, there are some people who identify with just being queer. They don't identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. And if you ask them, you know, what do they identify as, they just say queer. So, again, you know, we'll go ahead and define that. Queer is an umbrella term which embraces a matrix of sexual preferences, orientations, and habits of the not exclusively heterosexual and monogamous majority. Queer includes lesbians, gay men, bisexual, trans people, intersex persons, the radical sex communities, and many other sexually transgressive explorers. And so when it says here sexually transgressive, they're referring to an underworld, okay? And this term is sometimes used as a sexual orientation label instead of bisexual, as a way of acknowledging that there are more than two genders to be attracted to, or as a way of stating a non-heterosexual orientation without having to state who they are attracted to. Another definition here is a reclaimed word that was formerly used solely as a slur, but that has been semantically overturned by members of the maligned group who use it as a term of defiant pride. Queer is an example of a word undergoing this process. For decades, queer was used solely as a derogatory adjective for gays and lesbians, but in the 1980s, the term began to be used by gay and lesbian activists as a term of self-identification. Eventually, it came to be used as an umbrella term that included gay men, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgendered people. Nevertheless, a sizable percentage of people to whom this term might apply still hold queer to be a hateful insult, and is used by heterosexuals as often considered offensive. Similarly, other reclaimed words are usually offensive to the in-group when used by outsiders, so extreme caution must be taken concerning their use when one is not a member of the group. And so basically, you know, queer is a reclaimed derogatory slang for the sexual minority community, and it's not accepted by all in the sexual minority community, especially older members. So, you know, just kind of want to give you some insight as to, you know, what some of this means here. And, you know, again, you know, just need to discuss these issues. I see we have a caller, but let me go ahead and define these next couple of letters here, and I'll pull you into the call. Okay, so the last one that we defined here was Q for queer, and we wanted to, again, address Q for questioning. And basically, questioning is one who is in the process of questioning their sexual identity, orientation, or preference. And so basically, you know, that was the real simplified definition of that. Intersex, and I definitely want to define intersex and asexual and all of that, because that seems, with these terms, intersex and asexual, those terms seem to be the most controversial. especially within the LGBTQIA community. And I want to go ahead and define this so that, you know, again, we're not excluding anyone, but also to give people a better understanding so they can glean a better understanding of who these people happen to be. And an intersex happens to be one whose external genitalia at birth does not match the standards for male or female, or one whose sex glands do not totally match the sex assigned at birth, or one whose sexual development does not match the sex assigned at birth. And there is a difference between transsexual and intersex, so I want to make sure we don't get that confused as well. You know, another definition for an intersex person is a person whose body does not fit into the categories of male or female due to genital or gonadal or chromosomal or hormonal variation. Intersex people may have typical male or feminine identities or may identify as gender diverse. So, again, you know, some people may consider this as a disorder of sex development. And, again, you know, look these terms up, look this terminology up so that you can get a better understanding as well. I am going to define ally because, you know, we happen to have a lot of allies within our community. There are a lot of groups out there that I would encourage you guys to go and investigate and possibly join, and because there are a lot of heterosexual people who are allies to our community. And the definition of ally is someone who confronts heterosexism, homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, heterosexism, and gender straight privilege in themselves and others. A concern for the well-being of lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and intersex people, and a belief that heterosexism, homophobia, biphobia, and transphobia are social justice issues. Another definition for it is ally is a person who confronts homophobia, heterosexism, heterosexual privilege, biphobia, transphobia, and societal gender norms in themselves and others on both a personal and institutional level. So that was the definition for that. And our last definition for this particular acronym is asexual. And asexual is one who has no significant to oneself interest in sexual activity or who identifies as asexual. Another definition is basically someone who is not, a person who is not sexually attracted to anyone or does not have a sexual orientation. So, you know, those are the definitions for the terms that I had spoken about earlier. And, I mean, there are definitions for a lot of other terms. And I put something on my wall video up about two-spirited. So I just want to go ahead and define that for some people out there who may be trying to understand what that is, because that has a definition itself. And two-spirited is basically a native persons who have attributes of both genders, have distinct gender and social roles in their tribes, and are often involved with mystical rituals, you know, the shamans. And their dress is usually a mixture of male and female articles, and they are seen as a separate or third gender. The term two-spirit is usually considered to specific to the Zuni tribe. Similar identity labels vary by tribe and include one spirit and Wentia. Sorry about that. And so, again, you know, again, we have all of these different definitions out here, these different groups. And, you know, just want to let you guys know that, you know, there are people out here and there are resources that definitely, you know, can help you get a better understanding, glean a better understanding of these different groups. And we have a call from area code 312, which is Chicago. Chicago, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Kim. This is Judy.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to address a point on how the media is sort of accepting of what one might term alternative ways of life, but it seems like many of the characters who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or such are treated kind of clownish, much like with Paul Lynn, Boy George, and Liberace. Before there was any acceptance whatsoever, the only way they could have a career was to be obviously gay and over the top. It's kind of feeding into the stereotype people had. But you had people like Rock Hudson and Robert Reed. Nobody knew for the longest time until they died that either men were gay, and that was the only way they could maintain a career in Hollywood.
Exactly.
But you have more of an acceptance now with Queer as Folk and 6 Feet Under. Both of those shows had a gay theme running, and 6 Feet Under in particular, there was a black man and a white man. They were a couple throughout, and yes, they had ups and downs with their relationship, but they are about the most respectful portrayal of gay men on TV. But of course, you have to watch shows with that respect on a premium channel like Showtime, HBO, and such.
Mm-hmm.
For teenagers, they have Degrassi, The Next Generation, which addresses all gammas of the spectrum, including children who are confused as to which way to go, some who are bisexual, some transgender even. It covers how kids have to deal with all these issues in a high school setting, and they are really respectful in how they portray them. They're not stereotypes, and they're not out to get attention. They show how they do get picked on a lot, how they have conflicts with their parents and society at large, but a theme of acceptance that this is normal.
Right. Exactly. And we've made a lot of progress. We've made a lot of progress over the years, and we still have a long way to go, but we're a lot further than we were. And this is one of the reasons why we have such a high suicide rate among LGBTQ teens and young adults. And, you know, even in some cases, you know, adults. You know, again, example after example has been presented. And, you know, when you look at some of the stats, you know, because there, you know, there's been a lot of number crunching. And it seems as though it's being more readily accepted, you know, the different sexuality categories here. But, you know, yes, definitely, you know, it needs to be addressed. And even within our own community, there's discrimination within the LGBTQ community as well. So, you know, again, you know, dealing with some of the issues that are happening, but we need to address it, which is why I wanted to have this show so that we can define the terminology and people can call and ask questions. There are some things I can answer. Other things, not so much. I can answer from, you know, information that has been passed on to me from friends and associates who may identify with, you know, different categories or specific groups. But, yeah, you know, you're right, you know, and these are things that definitely, you know, need to be brought to the forefront and addressed. So, yeah, we're a lot further along than we were.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's just, it's interesting, you know, in your experience, you know, dealing with the LGBT community, you know, dealing with just the different people, you know, have you seen any real progress over the past 10 years?
I have seen a lot more acceptance of it, but there's still kind of a backlash. In the black community especially, you just don't come out of the closet. I have my best friend from high school. He was raised in the Nation of Islam. He cannot come out of a closet for his father, even though he's been living with a man for the past 12 years. It's one of those things, your head in the sand moment when it comes to him relating to his father.
Yes, definitely. You know, yeah, we like to play ostrich, and you're correct. And in particular with the Nation of Islam, yeah, definitely, yeah, that would not be the wisest decision he ever made, even though it should not be that way. I remember when Louis Farrakhan tried to reach out to the LGBT community, but that was around the time when he was severely sick, you know. And, you know, his rhetoric has changed a little bit back to, you know, some of the vitriol that we've heard over the years. But, yeah, the Nation of Islam, that's a totally different beast. But, yeah, within the African-American community, yeah, there is a lot of, you know, discrimination, a lot of, well, we see it, but we're not going to acknowledge it. We're not going to talk about it. Because, you know, if you talk about these issues, that means you have to do something about it. You know, and that goes beyond, you know, LGBT. But, yeah, definitely, we need to talk about these things. It needs to be addressed, and especially within the minority communities, Black and Latino, Mestizo, you know, you have all these different communities, because our children are dying. They're dying either from, you know, suicide. In some cases, you know, some of the issues we're having with HIV and AIDS, you know, those are factors. It's not the end-all, be-all. It's not everything, but these are small, you know, factors in some of the issues we're having with the youth. And we definitely, it needs to be addressed. We know we can't ignore this. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. You know, you hear religious people say all the time, you know, love the sinner but hate the sin. But then, you know, when you turn around and say, well, okay, you know, you hate the belief but not the believer, they get offended. So it's just, it's interesting. You know,
what I also see kind of as rub is, in the Black community, they'll say, well, being gay is not the same thing. You can obviously tell if you're a Black person and face the hatred and prejudice. But being gay is a choice, and you can't obviously tell, so it's not the same thing. But what they don't consider is people are more than likely born that way. I don't think there's been any proof that you just say, oh, all of a sudden I think I'll be gay.
Exactly, exactly. And they tell you that you choose to be gay, and then if you use their same logic and say they choose to be heterosexual or choose to be straight, if you will, and I don't even like the term straight, they choose to be heterosexual, they'll say, no, we were born that way. And that's not, you know, that's not applicable to gay people who feel that they were born that way. So again, you know, you have the double standards there. And, you know, the whole thing is just interesting, but, you know, we definitely need to address it, and especially within the religious community, in the African-American community. I mean, you know, you go to some of these churches, and some of these things are quite obvious. You know that there's, you know, LGBT community within the church, and no one wants to talk about it. And then, ironically, when the pastor, when his sermon is bombing, and he starts talking about, you know, the gays and the lesbians, then everybody wants to get up and shout, because at the end of the day, he knows if he says something about derogatory about gays and lesbians, in many cases, that will get the people all riled up. And it's just interesting, because there are a lot of gay, lesbian people that are married to people of the opposite sex. It does not mean that, you know, it is what you would consider a traditional marriage, but a lot of people have what we call in our community covers or beards. It happens. It happens all the time. There are a lot of arranged marriages out there. You'd be surprised, you know, at some of the people that some people think are, you know, totally 100% hetero. That's not necessarily the case. You know, but that's not our job today to, you know, point those people out. But it happens, and it happens more often than people care to realize. But a lot of people are chased into the closet, chased into hiding because of, you know, in this particular country, in America in particular, people don't want to accept others as who and what they are. And I truly believe that once we get to the point where we start accepting people for who and what they are, that it will basically cut down on some of the other issues that we have. I'm not understanding why people cannot be themselves. You know,
like
why
men going on a down low. It
yeah,
wouldn't be that case if there was acceptance. They could just be out in the open.
Exactly. You know, and even with that down low phenomena, you know, a lot of that was taken totally out of context. And we really need to address that as well, because that's another reason why some of these, you know, young men cannot come out of the closet, because, you know, they are made to feel if they choose to love someone of the same sex. Now, again, I'm saying choose to love someone of the same sex. I'm not saying that they're choosing to be gay or bisexual. They're choosing to love someone of the same sex. They should not be vilified or demonized, because, again, it is their choice to love whomever they see fit, whether it's someone of the same sex or gender or not. So, you know, we need to address that. We need to, again, you know, break down these stigmas, not allow other people to vilify and demonize those who happen to be, you know, a member of the LGBTQIA community. And, yes, I do include QIA, you know, because there are some people, when you ask them, are you gay or bi or lesbian and bi, they refuse to answer the question and they'll say that they're queer, which is why I define the terminology so that you could get a better understanding as to what the terminology means. So, you know, again, it's just interesting, you know, but I want to go ahead real quick and define sex and gender. And just in a nutshell, you know, sex is you're male or female. That's sex. Gender is whether you're masculine or feminine. And those are very simplified definitions of, again, sex and gender. And I can give you another definition for sex. And it says here, it's a medical term designating a certain combination of gonads, chromosomes, external gender organs, secondary sex characteristics, and hormonal balances. Because usually subdivided into males and females, this category does not recognize the existence of DSD intersex bodies. So that's one definition of sex. Another definition of gender would be one's expression of masculinity, femininity, or androgyny in words, persons, organisms, or characteristics. And again, you have these different other definitions. You have gender binary, which is the idea that there are only two genders, male or female, or man and woman, and that a person must be strictly gendered as either. And so, you know, that takes you into another realm, which is identity sphere. So, again, it's interesting, you know, it's just getting out here and understanding that there are people who are different than yourself. You know, you have gender normative, which is cisgender. And I'll go ahead and define cisgender for, you know, everyone. A cisgender is a person who by nature or by choice conforms to gender-based expectations of society. And it's also referred to as gender straight or gender normative. So, you know, again, you have these different, you know, definitions out here. This is a very, you know, diverse, you know, culture. You just have a myriad of different people in different categories in which people may identify as one or more than one. So, again, you know, you like it, I love it. And I just, you know, wish people could and would be more accepting of one another. We have Mario on the line here. Hey, Mario.
Oh, hey.
Hey. So, yeah, you were just talking about this here, and, you know, I was just defining sex and gender. And so, basically, I'm going to, you know, sex refers to biological differences. Again, chromosomes, hormonal profiles, internal and external sex organs. And gender describes the characteristics that a society or culture delineates as masculine and feminine. And so, you know, while your sex as male or female is a biological fact that is the same in any culture, what that sex means in terms of your gender role as a man or a woman in society can be quite different cross-culturally. So these gender roles have an impact on the health of the individual. And so in sociological terms, gender role refers to the characteristics and behaviors that different cultures attribute to the sexes. What it means to be a quote-unquote real man in any culture requires male sex plus what our various cultures define as masculine characteristics and behaviors. Likewise, a real woman, quote-unquote, needs female sex and feminine characteristics. So basically it's saying here, you know, that a man equals male sex plus masculine social role, and a woman equals female sex plus female social role. It's just interesting how people, you know, define this terminology. But I just wanted to kind of give people an idea, you know, regarding this here, you know, the difference between sex and gender. And, you know, I also wanted to address heterosexism. But before I address heterosexism, you know, maybe we need to address, you know, homophobia as well. And, you know, the word homophobia was coined in the late 1960s by George Weinberg. And he used homophobia to label heterosexuals' dread of being in close quarters with homosexuals as well as homosexual self-loathing. The word first appeared in print in 1969 and was subsequently discussed in length in Weinberg's 1972 book, Society and the Healthy Homosexual. So, you know, I wanted to define that, and basically around the same time, heterosexism began to be used as a term analogous to sexism and racism, describing an ideological system that denies, denigrates, and stigmatizes any non-heterosexual form of behavior, identity, relationship, or community. And using the term heterosexism highlights the parallels between anti-gay sentiment and other forms of prejudice, such as racism, anti-Semitism, and sexism. And like institutionalized racism and sexism, heterosexism pervades societal customs and institutions. It operates through a dual process of invisibility and attack. Homosexuality usually remains culturally invisible when people who engage in homosexual behavior or who are identified as homosexual become visible. They are subject to attack by society. And this happens quite often. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, I definitely wanted to address this so that people can understand what's happening out here. You know, sometimes I'll see on Facebook some of the status updates. As a matter of fact, there was this one individual that posted a status update, and he received about 400 plus responses to that status update, in which he totally, you know, the status update was just dripping in heterosexism, in which, you know, he was discussing lesbians aren't truly lesbians if they enjoy penetration of any sort. It was just, it was really interesting, and I'm not going to rehash that, but, you know, that was just another example of what, you know, people in the LGBTQ community, you know, what we've been dealing with over the years, because there are some men that, you know, that really do believe that if a woman is not interested in him, any woman, then she must be gay or bisexual or lesbian and bisexual. And, you know, there are some women that feel that same way about men. If there is a particular man that's not attracted to them per se, then he must be gay or bisexual. And, you know, it's just interesting. We need to basically break down all of these stigmas and stereotypes, because it definitely is hurting, you know, our community. And, again, the call-in number is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. And we have Raina on the line. Raina, are you there?
Hey, Kim, what's going on?
Hey. Yeah, Mario, I just brought you back into the call. You were doing something a minute ago. Hey, nothing much. I'm just trying to define this terminology and try to get people to get a better understanding of what's happening out there. I believe Mario was something. What were you saying, Mario?
You know, recently I've been seeing a lot of this stuff in certain places, particularly with a lot of believers and whatnot. What they're referring to, what they're saying is this this exposure of homosexuals in the last few years as a fad, as though this is something that's like, it's like jeans or a shirt, you know, or something like that. That people are becoming more gay, more people becoming gay because they think that's the cool thing to do now. And it's like, I kind of, you know, even as a straight man, I found that offensive that you refer to someone who's gay as this is a fad. This is just something that they're playing around with, you know. It's one of those things I don't exactly know how to address without being a little bit irritated that someone thinks that it's only a fad. And I have to remind them about, you know, the things that are going on and tell them why all this is coming about. And it really annoys me how many black people really put down homosexuals. And it's like not less than 100 years ago, you were the minority group trying to fight for what you wanted as well, things that other people already had. And now that you've gotten most of what you wanted, you feel it's okay to look down your nose at someone else. I just think it's kind of hypocritical.
Exactly. And you're right. And that's one thing that I don't understand either, how a group that was once oppressed, and still we have a lot of strides to make within, you know, this particular country as far as the African-American, you know, community is concerned, how can we justify oppressing another community? But also, we also need to address some of the other issues regarding that as well. In California, when that proposition failed, basically, members of the LGBTQ community, they were blaming the black community for that particular proposition, when in fact, if you go and look at the numbers, the black community population or the percentage that actually voted is not significant enough to determine whether that bill, I mean, whether that proposition failed or passed. So, you know, in some cases, the African American community is scapegoating. So, and I'm not saying that's across the board, but yeah, you know, there have been instances in which that has happened. So I want to make sure I address that as well, so I won't have people inboxing me saying, you know, talking about those particular issues. But in general, yes, when I hear some of the vitriol that comes out of the African American church in particular, you know, it angers me because, again, you know, they look around their church, you will see quite a few members of the LGBTQ community. In many cases, you're singing songs written by members of the LGBTQ community, and they are mm-hmm. not afforded the right to come out and be themselves, which I think, you know, does a disservice to themselves in the community because they are, you know, their parents. You know, in some cases, some of them are parents, some of them are active in a community, you know, taxpayers, you know, productive members of society. Why should they not be afforded the right to be themselves and to come out? And that's something that I've never Absolutely. Understood. Yeah,
well,
definitely.
Kim, mm-hmm. What was I going to say? Well, Kim, what you guys are talking about in terms of race and the LGBT community, just like you were saying, it cuts both ways, right? So on the one hand, you have, you know, discrimination within the LGBT community against people of color, you know what I mean? And then you have the dynamic between the black church or the black community and the gay community. And I think there's a little bit of a deeper issue when it comes to, you know, sort of the way that the black church or the black community sort of sees homosexuality. And I think that comes from the fact that, you know, so much of, you know, you have a group that, you know, black people and minorities in this country, they don't have a lot of power economically, politically, or what have you, you know. And so the quote-unquote power, they see it comes from, you know, the patriarchal paradigm where men are, you know, where men are regarded as being the strong, you know, providers, you know, very masculine, you know what I mean? That sort mm-hmm. of thing. And so it's threatening to black people, to some black people, rather, to see men who don't necessarily fit within that role. You know what I mean? It's threatening to them, and it's threatening to men who see themselves that way a lot of the time. You know, but the real, I think the bigger issue in terms of homophobia and you know, discrimination against gays really is about patriarchy and this idea that, you know, a man is not a complete man unless he's with a woman in a particular way.
Right.
Or a woman is not a complete woman unless she's with a man in a particular way. That's why it's so, you know, that's why in so many discussions, you know, with some men, you'll find that if a woman says something that a man doesn't find acceptable, he's apt to call her a lesbian or a dyke or something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's where that comes from. And that's where that whole conversation that you were referencing on Facebook comes from. That individual, you know, idea that you're not a complete woman unless you're with a man.
Exactly. And, you know, and we definitely need to discuss hypersexuality, because that falls within that particular realm. And, you know, basically, I'll go ahead and define it. You know, hypersexuality is defined as a dysfunctional preoccupation with sexual fantasy, often in combination with obsessive pursuit of casual or non-intimate sex, pornography, compulsive masturbation, romantic intensity, and objectified partner sex for, you know, a period of time. And, you know,
and you know what, you can add hypermasculinity to that too, because that's a
exactly.
major issue within minority communities as well.
Yeah,
hypermasculine.
Exactly.
Alpha male type shit.
Exactly.
You know, I run into a lot of dudes, man, especially on like some of these groups I'm in, in which the dude does a post in this group, man, and the group is essentially one of those kind of sex-oriented type groups. And the guy posted a picture, and it's, I can't remember exactly what the picture was. But another dude, you know what I'm saying, asked him, like, yo, can I add you to my friends list? And the guy's response was, man, I'm a dude. Don't be adding me. And I'm like, yeah, because, you know, that's gay, man. You know what I'm saying? Gay dudes use Facebook and shit. I'm thinking that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You know what that reminds me of? I just finished watching, and I think I sent it to you, Kim, but I didn't get to put it on your wall yet. There's a TED Talk by this gentleman, this gay man, who is talking about the gay agenda. And, you know, he was talking about how, you know, the gay agenda, you know, he was like, I get up in the morning and I drink coffee and I get stuck in traffic and I tell my kid to clean up his room. And he was like, you know, that sounds like a lot of things that, you know, that straight people do. You better run for your heterosexual lives. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's pretty funny. But, you know, it's sad. I mean, to think that something as simple as a man sending a friend request to another man on a social media website can be thought of as being gay.
Right.
And then not just that, and it's not just that they say it's gay, is they're really using gay as a negative. It's really
exactly.
like
yeah.
they're saying something really negative about you. Like there's something wrong with you, and they're saying it. So it's not like they're just referring to your sexuality. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's deeper than that. It's,
exactly.
And it says something about what they think about themselves. You know?
Exactly. Oh, and I agree with you. You know, when someone says something like, oh, that's gay, and I'm like, as though gay is being a bad thing, is that what you're saying? And that usually backs them up because it makes them think about what
right.
they're saying. Because,
right.
again, you know, it's just interesting, you know, some of the, you know, derogatory and pejorative terms have become so commonplace that, you know, people don't challenge it. People don't say anything. They just accept it. And we have to stop that. In order to, you know, be able to overcome these stigmas and these stereotypes, we're going to have to address these particular issues. So, I mean, you know, you know, you both were talking about, you know, when Judy called and she was talking about us playing ostrich. We have to stop that. We have to address all of these issues because there's only, I can't say it's going to make it worse, but I can say that because not talking about it is not going to make it any better. And in many cases, silence is tacit agreement. So we have to say something. We have to address these issues. In many cases, I've seen that it's just a matter of ignorance. It's a matter of the person just not being educated or informed. So that's the reason why I think it's important that when we see things like that, that we educate the person, but not necessarily in a combative type of manner, if you will, because that's only going to defeat the purpose. But again, that's just my opinion on that. I just feel that there's a better way to address these issues than being in the middle of a pissing contest, if you will.
Well, sometimes, you know, I find myself trying to fight. I often end up trying to debating people who assume that I'm gay myself or that I have gay tendencies because I'm advocating or fighting ignorance against LGBT, and It's like.
Right, as though you can't defend the principle unless you're gay.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
And,
like, you can't defend the principle that these are human beings and they're worthy of respect unless they're
right,
gay.
Right,
right. That's really retarded.
Yeah, and I try to tell them, you know what I'm saying? I'm not telling you or pointing out your ignorance on this because I'm gay, which I'm not. I'm pointing this out because I'm a human being who believes in the freedom and the compassion of other human beings to love who they want to love and do what they want to do as long as they're not hurting anybody else. I mean, that's just point blank. You know, women's rights, any other group that I don't feel needs to fight for rights that everybody else already has in the first place. That's what I'm feeling.
Exactly, and the LGBTQ community should not have to be fighting for rights that should just automatically be afforded to them like everyone else. Just like the black community should not have had to fight for rights that should have naturally been afforded to them. You know, that's something that I'm not understanding. Why must people get out there and fight and protest something that should be rightfully theirs? And it is rightfully theirs. But it's interesting, you know, because I just find it ironic that we're having to pass legislation and make laws to give people rights that should be natural. And that's something that I've never understood. But it's not just this country.
Well, they're rights that are already guaranteed by the Constitution. It's just that for whatever reason, the various states don't want to recognize those laws or recognize those rights. Just like, you know, in several states, you can be evicted or thrown out of your house or your apartment or whatever just for being gay, bisexual, or transgendered.
True.
For no other reason.
Exactly. And it needs to be, you know, definitely addressed.
Or even just being perceived that way. Because, I mean, how would they really know? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Unless, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, in this particular country, perception is reality to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like that case up in Baltimore, whereas that, you know, religious cult, the leader who they referred to as Lord, he killed that little 4-year-old boy because he felt that the black Hebrew Israelite. Yeah, you know, and
that was horrible.
Around that, yeah, and basically killed that little 4-year-old boy because he felt that the boy had gay tendencies, and I believe he felt that the little boy had hit one of the other little boys on the butt, and the other little boy happened to be his son, and that man had several children by quite a few of those women, and he killed that boy. He killed a little 4-year-old boy, and it's amazing. Because, yeah, and the people in his cult, they defended him. They covered for him. His mother and his brother went to jail because the 4-year-old child's body, as well as another woman that was within that particular cult, they buried the bodies in his mom's backyard. And the people, the members of his cult said nothing. They didn't report it to the police. And they covered for him. And again, you know, it's just, it's amazing. And again, that was another case of perception is reality to someone. And it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. And we have to do more. We have to do better about addressing these issues. We have a young man in a chat room speaking, and you know, he was talking about religious people using circular logic regarding homosexuality and the Bible. And, you know, that happens, you know, quite often. I mean, not just religious people using, you know, circular logic regarding that. People in general. There are some people within the atheist pre-thought community that you are, who, you know, that's
Kim,
something that I don't understand.
Kim, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. I wrote a blog post about this, about one of the most insanely stupid arguments against, you know, homosexuality ever conceived, this notion that it's unnatural, that it doesn't happen in nature, you know, and all of this other stuff, and that because it's not, quote-unquote, natural, that it's bad or whatever. And the fact of the matter is that homosexuality is natural. And the real fact is that there really isn't there's no binary in nature. There's nothing in nature that there's no toggle switch, you know? You don't toggle between, you know, heterosexual and homosexual. It's a spectrum. And some people fall, you know, in different places along the spectrum, you know? And some people, even though they might fall in a particular place on the spectrum, might act against that just so that they can find acceptance within society. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It's to find in the atheist community, people making insane remarks about, you know, nature and that, you know, that homosexuality is against nature. Like nature is sentient, you know, like nature is an intelligence that has purpose and will, you know?
Exactly. That's true. And the young man corrected me, Isaac corrected me. That was in Durham, North Carolina, not Baltimore, Maryland. But, yeah, and going back to what Raina was saying, exactly. You know, it is natural because how can they explain the gay, you know, plants, gay animals? I mean, how can they explain any of that? If it's so unnatural, how is that happening within, you know, again, the plant community, within the animal community? How does that happen?
You know,
are they natural as well?
They even bring, when it comes to the religious angle of it, you know, I was reading a lot of things within the Bible. I was reading Genesis and whatnot. There was a couple of things I noticed is that God, when he made Adam, he didn't make Adam and then Eve. He made Adam and then waited. And then, you know, from what I read in the scripture, he looked around for a helper, didn't see one, and then he made Eve. And this was after he told the creatures he created to be fruitful and multiply, which tells me that Eve was an afterthought, if anything. So,
well, here's the other thing, too. Like, in some theological belief systems, Adam actually was having sex with animals before before Eve was created.
That's nasty. And then I get to arguing with him really hard, right? Because we sit up here talking about, like, you know, saying the Bible says an abomination. Like, the Bible also says slaves obey your master, but you skip right over that, though, don't you? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, if you're gonna call it. If we're supposed to go by the Bible, then you know what I'm saying, then why are you worshiping the very religion that says that you're supposed to be enslaved?
Right. It's interesting, but yeah, you know, it's when you try to talk about those things, again, their answer will be, well, it says it in the Bible, and that's it, and that's all. And that's what they believe. And, yes, you know, again, yeah, you know, God looked around for a woman for Adam, which was interesting. But again, we won't even go into Lilith and all of that other good fun stuff there. you know, but you know, many in many cases they don't necessarily read their own Bibles. But again, you know, for many people they don't understand science. They don't understand, you know, nature, and many of them are just closed-minded and they don't want to hear anything about it. And because when we start talking about, you know, the gay animals and the gay plants and things of that nature, it's going to make them think. And many of them have shut down that part of their brain as far as that type of thing is concerned. Now, you know, you try to miscount their money, they're going to catch you before you drop that last bill. You know, say, no, that's not it. But again, you know, there is a lot of ignorance out there, and it definitely needs to be addressed. And again, we're making some progress. We still have a long way to go. And I posted a couple of links on my Facebook wall regarding, you know, sexuality of nature and, you know, sexuality of animals and so on and so forth. I just posted an article, Homosexuality in Nature, and it's talking about, you know, the plants, you know, and amongst some plants, sometimes flowers possess both male and female sex organs. Sometimes they're unisexual and on different plants, sometimes unisexual and on the same plant. Sometimes flowers are designed so that they can't self-pollinate. Other times they have to pollinate themselves. And so, I mean, it's just, it's interesting. You know, when you put the information out there and you start trying to educate people, you know, they definitely, they start rejecting things that they don't understand. And we have to get beyond that. Oh, there is one definition that I did not get to earlier, and I want to go ahead and define this for someone out there. Pansexual. Pansexual is someone or a person who is sexually attracted to all or many gender expressions. And so, you know, I wanted to identify that and define that. Some other people would define that as omnisexual. And but since, you know, I'm talking about this here, I may as well go ahead and define polyamorous as well. So polyamory basically is refers to having honest, usually non-possessive relationships with multiple partners and can include open relationships, polyfidelity, which involves multiple romantic relationships with sexual contact restricted to those, and sub-relationships, which denote distinguishing between a primary relationship or relationships and various secondary relationships. You know, you have a bunch of sister wives out there and things of that nature. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure we defined that as well. I didn't want to leave anyone out and get any more inboxes, you know, regarding that there. But, yeah, you know, so it's about challenging people and challenging the way that they think, challenging what they've been told because, again, you know, we have a long way to go. And a lot of these issues are not necessarily being addressed, or if they are being addressed, you know, it's surface. And we really need to get in depth with a lot of this, you know. We're not even really scratching the surface talking about this today, because we can really get in depth, and we'll be talking for, you know, several shows regarding this, but that's not what I wanted to do. I just wanted to bring a brief introduction to, you know, the different terminologies, and especially helping people to understand the difference between sex and gender. And if you go back, and especially if you're in anthropology and sociology, and you go back and you read some of the, you know, informationals or watch some of the documentaries, it will show you that with different gender types, you have some males, again, male and female sex, you have some males that fall within a more feminine gender identity role. And you have some females that fall within a more masculine gender identity role. And, I mean, so, again, it would just behoove you to go out there and familiarize yourself with the terminology and to open up your mind and open up your understanding that there are people out there who are different than yourself. The xenophobia displayed in this country, sometimes it's just sickening. And while there are things that I don't even personally understand, even within the LGBTQIA community, there are things that I do not necessarily understand, but my mind is open to learning. these different things and to get a better understanding and have more compassion for the people that are within our community. And, you know, so that's just across the board. Whether you're a member of this community or not, I feel that we owe it to ourselves as well as other people to be more accepting and more embracing, because, you know, we're losing a lot of people. There are a lot of people taking their own lives, and there are a lot of people who are denying themselves who they are because of, you know, social conformity. And I just think it's wrong on so many levels, and it hurts that person. And it's a long-term issue. Yeah, you know, I'm going to post your article, your blog here, Rain. I'm going to post it in a room because, you know, people need
I
to go out there and read that. Oh, okay, cool. Thank you kindly. Thank you kindly. And, yeah, so go ahead, Raina.
No, I didn't have anything to say. I was just going to say I posted it already on your wall.
Okay, cool.
In the chat room
as well. Yeah, definitely, you know, and, you know, especially with our little friends there within the atheist community, there are some homophobes, if you will, within the atheist community or the free thought community, and that's something, again, that I have not necessarily understood. And, you know,
oh, yeah, one of the big
ones, before.
One of the big mm-hmm. ones is Charlie Checkham. He's like the world's worst rapper, but he has like an album, an album called Heterosexual, where he is asserting his heterosexualness, I guess. You know, by talking about how he's not interested in sleeping with men. Not that I'm pretty much sure that no one has ever expressed that desire to him ever, but. He still, you know, has an entire album about it, which is pretty funny.
Right. But the thing is that what I don't understand, this is just me and my opinion here. If you have to create a whole album, and especially some of the people out there that all they talk about is heterosexuality, heterosexual sex, and putting down other communities, other categories, what are you trying to prove?
Well, you know, you look at the hip hop music and rap music. You know, especially when you know there was such a thing. You kids probably don't know this, but there used to be miniature movie narratives to the music of a song made by an artist.
Mm-hmm.
We used to call these things videos. Okay, and you see all these girls. These girls are paid only to be in the video to show off their ass or to be some type of, hey, I got all these girls, envy me. Look how much I have. I have all these girls and stuff like that. They're purely an object to show the status of the rapper or the singer in the video. That's all. You know what I'm saying? That's all they are. And then you look at the covers of most of the rap magazines. Nobody's smiling about shit. They actually look like they're mad to even be on the magazine. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got this alpha male persona, and you got this idea that in order to be a man, in order to have some other dudes envy you, you got to be fucking as many women and the right type of women as possible. And it's like, you know, society really has drilled so much BS into our minds about who we are supposed to be. And how you're supposed to be as a woman, how you're supposed to be as a black woman, how you're supposed to be as a black lesbian woman, and how I'm supposed to be as a man, and how am I supposed to be as a black man. There are things, we're supposed to be born with a genetic list of things we can and cannot do. Otherwise, other people have something to say about it. I call so much bullshit on that because, you know, you get tired of trying to conform to what society says you should be doing. And, you know, I'm looking at these conversations on Facebook, and a dude would be like, yo, man, what's up, man? Hey, yo, hit me up later, no homo. All right, man, shoot, I'll hit you up, man. Shit, man, oh, hey, I got to talk to you about something, no homo. All right, no homo, man, let me hit you up later, and then we'll talk about it and everything. No homo, I'm not gay, no homo. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, you guys got to specify that shit every single time? I mean, that's lame as hell. You might, hey, who are you trying to fool, me or yourself? I don't know.
Right. Exactly. 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 Who are you trying to fool, or who are you trying to convince? You know, me or yourself? And that happens often. And, again, because of, you know, homosexuality, bisexuality, you know, gay, lesbian, whatever, because it has been so demonized and vilified, people do not necessarily want to be identified with, you know, the underdog, if you will, and or the group that's being oppressed. And, you know, again, I just find it interesting, but, you know, that's why we have to challenge that. We have to address it. But, no, you're right. And that goes back to, you know, what we were talking about earlier with the hypermasculinity and, you know, hypersexuality in this country. And, you know, that's something that I've never understood, because I know a number of people who are who identify themselves by their sexuality. And that's something that I've never understood, because for me personally, my sexuality happens to be just one of the factors in the equation that makes me me. Just, you know, one of the, you know, subtitles within, you know, under the Kim, you know, title there. And it's just interesting. But, yeah, I'm not, I don't identify myself by my sexuality. And, I mean, for those who do, I mean, to each his own, is all well and good if that helps you to cope through another day or go through another day. Anyway, our telephone number is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. And if you would like to speak with us, you have to press 1 so that I can see the little hand, which is like a little question mark, yellow, in a triangle. Well, not a triangle, that's a square. Anyway, You know, this has been a really interesting conversation. And, yeah, you know, you have all these different categories. Even some of us within the LGBTQ community, we get confused with some of this terminology as well. We have to keep up with everybody else. But at the end of the day, we're all human. And I think that's all that really matters.
Yep, that's all that matters.
That is all that matters. But I just find it interesting, you know, when you all were addressing, especially Mario, addressing, you know, the rap videos and the different people and basically, I got a question from someone, a text message, actually, and they said, what would we call a person who doesn't agree with homosexuality?
Well, what's there to agree with? I mean, the only thing you have to agree to, I mean, in any situation is whether or not you're going to consent to sex with someone. If you're not consenting to sex with someone, what is there to agree with? Like, what do you care if this person over here is having sex with somebody, you know, of the same sex? What does it have any? Does it have anything to do with you? You know, it has nothing to do with you. It should be a non-issue. You know, if it isn't a non-issue for you, then you're a homophobe. I don't know what else to tell you. That's it.
Okay, because, I mean, you know, the person who texted me, they were like, well, they hate the term homophobia for describing people who fear or disagrees with homosexuality. So, you know, when they sent me that
then try
text
not
message,
being a homophobe.
Yeah, besides, you know, well, basically, my question to them was, what would you call someone who disagrees or has a fear? And so, you know, we were going back and forth in text messages there, so I just thought
ignorant.
I would put that
I
out
mean,
there.
Does ignorant work better for them?
Hmm?
Ask them, does ignorant work better for them?
Right. So it's interesting. We have actually someone who wants to speak in. They Skyped in. We have Liberal 141 on the line. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Great show. Please continue your great show. More and more people need to listen to what you're saying. I have a very personal problem with what you're saying. This is the reason that I am against religion, just what you're saying right now. The whole concept of saying that without sex, you cannot have good sex without marriage, the whole concept that saying that the Bible is saying that gay, gay, lesbian, everything is evil and it's bad and we should kill them, is the whole situation why I have a problem with that. And when I come to Christian and I tell them what it is, are you, how are you affected with this? It has nothing to do with you. If two people want to have sex and they're men and men and lesbian, what does it have to do with you?
Yes.
And they have nothing to say. They have nothing to say. And I'm like, why are you against two people being happy?
Right, right, right. And it's the same thing I had to say about the gay marriage thing. It's like, you're not taking away from anybody's rights who already has this right to do this.
Exactly.
So your protest, what are you protesting for? Allowing people to do things that you already can do, you're not losing anything.
The thing of saying we're going to lose our country, we're losing our country, we're losing this. It's all about, we as free thinkers have to start really, I think, being really, I'm sorry to say, maybe nasty, but saying, you know what, the respect, we got to get it out. We have been too much respectable, always respecting and things like that, and it's called bullshit when it's bullshit.
Okay. Can I say something? Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I agree with what you're saying to a certain extent, but I think you have to be careful to a certain extent, because religion didn't create patriarchy, and religion did not create this idea that men have to be a certain way and that women have to be a certain way. That would exist regardless of whether or not religion existed. There's always going to be something along those lines about controlling people's individual behavior and their choices. That's always going to be a factor.
But
I think what you have to do, hold on. Religion does have a major role in exacerbating that issue. But I think you have to be careful, because there are a lot of people within the religious community who actually agree that homosexuals and bisexuals and transgender people and queer identifying people, are worthy, are human beings worthy of rights. And they don't agree with those aspects of their faith that, say that these people should be persecuted, or limited in some way. So you have to be careful to a certain extent if you're bashing religion in that way, because there's a lot of people who are religious that are supporting the LGBT community, So I agree with you.
I agree with you, but those people are not talking. I know there's many Christians that I know that believe what you're saying, but they don't talk. They do not talk. They don't speak up for what they really believe. When a Christian, the pastor saying what he's saying, none of the Christian I know, and I went to many churches, and I know some Christian personally that tells me, I do not believe what he's saying. I believe in equality.
But you're not going to encourage them by bashing the entire community.
If you do not stand up for what you believe in, and you're not able to confront what you believe in, and not
but
able
there's,
to say
there's
what
barriers
believing.
To standing up to what you for what you believe in any context. I mean, for one, just like what Mario was saying earlier, you can't stand up for rights for LGBT communities in some of these places because for fear that you'll be treated as though you're gay or lesbian or bisexual or whatever. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things to consider. There's a lot of reasons. Just as like there are many reasons why people don't come out of the closet. There's just as many reasons why some of these people are not able to be as open with their dissent as we would like them to be. And we're not going to encourage them to come out with their dissent as long as we're bashing the entire religious community. We have to find our allies, and we have to encourage them. And we can still talk about those elements of the religious community that are oppressive, and especially those religious elements that go over and export their bigotry to East Africa, for example. You know what I mean? And try to get them to sign into law these insane statutes to say that you can kill gays. You know what I mean? That's what we need to be doing. We need to find our allies and we need to use them to affect change in a positive way.
Okay,
let's see the upside, and let's see the upside to that as well. With President Obama endorsing, LGBTQ equality, hopefully that will encourage those who are our allies, those in within the religious community that do believe that, you know, the LGBT community deserves equal rights and recognition and dignity and common human decency and respect. Hopefully with him coming out and saying that he's for equality across the board, hopefully this will encourage them to also speak up, because sometimes some people need an example, and, you know, for President Obama to kind of put himself on Front Street there, if you will, and say that he's for this particular community and that it's okay. He, you know, basically is endorsing, you know, basically civil unions across the board. I personally feel that everyone should get civil unions, and then the marriage should be instituted by a church, if you will. But there are also affirming churches that will also marry, you know, gay couples as well. But as far as, you know, being recognized on a federal or level or state level, I feel it should be civil unions across the board. But, yeah, we should identify our allies. We should work with our allies within the community, because with that silent march they had in New York regarding the stop and frisk, the LGBT community joined the Black and Latino community in that march, because the, you know, the pervasive negative attitudes within the Black and Latino community, religious communities, they're starting to change. If you look at the statistics and you look at the numbers, it's starting to change. People are becoming more accepting. People are becoming more affirming. People are starting to embrace a little bit more. It's a small change, but it's a change nevertheless. And I'm hoping that with President Obama and his endorsement, that it's going to continue to encourage people to align themselves, you know, especially these minority communities, to align ourselves with one another. And hopefully this will encourage us to organize and to be able to go and stand in front of the powers that be and present our demands, present our agendas. But there is a lot of organization that needs to be done on our end, and part of that organization is recognizing who our allies are and aligning ourselves accordingly. And, again, it goes back to, as I stated before, common human decency, dignity, and respect, and we must learn how to treat one another with that.
I agree with what you're saying, but I feel, I don't want to bash on Christian and everything. Christian, not a lot of them, some of them have no regard of what you're saying. None. They will not bring respect. They will not bring what you're saying. I wish in the perfect world everybody should respect what they believe in, but we're not in the perfect world. Christian, especially Christian who are very religious, will not respect, will take every word possible to smash what you're saying. Even if you come with the best logic, even if you're telling them, I read your book, I know the Bible as much as you, I could quote everything in the Bible as much as you. Let's see it logically. Let's see the fairness. Let's see the humanness. And you're not trying to bash the person. I don't know why. They, after a while, you feel like you're talking to nobody. You feel like you're talking to somebody that, and you get so provoked, and you want to be respectable. And I've tried to be respectable with many Christians, but after a while, when you've been talking 3 hours, 4 hours, I've been debating 4 hours with a Christian, being respectable, drawing in the point, saying, listening to his point, and saying, you know what, let's be honest, let's put the thing. After a while, you want to wake them up and say, you are not doing the same honesty as me. You are not being honest.
Right, right. No, and I understand perfectly what you're saying. And there are times where you feel like you're speaking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct. But that's not everybody. And I think that's what, you know, Raina was trying to convey, that there are some people out there that are within the religious community that are, you know, affirming and embracing. And, you know, we don't want to alienate those people, so we kind of have to be careful with some of the broad invectives and generalities and blanket statements. But no, I understand perfectly what you're saying, because I've spoken to people like that before, you know, whether it was on blogs or face to face, and after a while you just, you know, designate it as an exercise in futility. So, you know, what do you do at that point? You walk away, because I've seen cases in which I have spoken with people that had that type of dogmatic attitude, if you will, and several years later, you know, they change. Their entire opinion changed, if not 100%, you know, the majority of it. And I've seen them apologize to people. I've had people apologize to me because they've changed. As a matter of fact, last weekend during Gay Pride here in Chicago, during the parade, and I wasn't there, but, you know, I saw the pictures of it, but there was a group of people wearing black T-shirts, and I posted it on my wall. And the T-shirt said, "I'm sorry," in white letters, black T-shirt, white letters. And then they had signs saying that I used to be a homophobe or I used to persecute, you know, people because they were different than myself, again, the xenophobia. And so there are some people whose mindsets change. So all we can do is confront it, correct it, try to educate and inform them. And hopefully later on down the line, you know, many of them will change their minds. But in the meantime, work within the parameters that we have and work with the people who are affirming and want to work alongside with us.
But the last question I want to ask, why do those people still have, when you're coming with facts, when you're coming with humanity, when you're coming with things, when you're even using their own Bible and things like that, still have that thing of, they say they want so much of truth, because I hear that we're seeking the truth. And when you're saying, what is the truth? When you don't, how can you converse with them about, like you say, homosexuality, sex, and things like that, when they say, let's be honest, let's be truthful. Fine, I am for truth, but they don't have that. Why do they don't have that? What's the wall? What? I don't understand that part. And that's it.
Okay, so you're talking about the circular logic there.
I don't understand that part.
Yeah, exactly. So
Short answer to your question is that human beings aren't rational, and that being rational is an exercise. It's something that you have to work at. It's not something that you're just born with. You have to work on it, and you have to want to work on it. And you're in talking to these people, you may not make the impact that you want to make before you walk away. You know what I mean? So just stop treating it as though it's a situation where they must change their mind. They came with these ideas long before they knew. It's going to take more than a single conversation of 2 or 3 hours to get them to change their mind. And that's assuming that they want to.
Right, it's an exercise in futility.
Okay.
I mean, it could be several years down the road. I mean, there's conversations that I have with people, that didn't affect me until years later. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Exactly. And that's the reason why I gave the example of people that have come back to me and have apologized for different things that they've said or done regarding, you know, this topic and other topics. And there are some that are still holding on to their beliefs. But again, you know, people have to evolve. You know, in one case in particular, the woman who came back and apologized, she had to apologize because, well, she didn't have to. She chose to apologize because one of her children came out as gay. And, you know, she apologized for her behavior and her attitude, but then she wanted, you know, me and others to answer questions for her so she could better understand her child, because she almost lost her child due to her ignorance, due to her refusal to understand, you know, what her child was going through. So some people change for a number of different reasons, not just because they have a child or a relative that comes out as a member of the LGBTQ community. But, again, you know, sitting there and speaking with people for hours, going over the same things over and over, it's an exercise of futility. You know, say what you need to say. You may restate it once or twice, and then you let it go, because you're not going to change that person's mind. And the only thing it's going to do is frustrate you personally. And, you know, you don't need that. You don't need that. So, you know, you continue to educate yourself. You continue to evolve, you know, and learn and glean the information and the knowledge and to share it with other people and, you know, challenge those pervasive attitudes that, you know, are, you know, that want to oppress, you know, particular communities and cultures. So, again, you know, you're doing a great job. You know, you're out here, you're putting the information out there. you know, don't waste your time sitting there arguing, like, you know, Raina said, you know, for a couple of hours with someone. It's not worth it. And at the end of the day, you're going to be the one sitting there with a headache, because there are some people out there, especially if you're dealing with some of these Facebook people or some people on these blogs, they're just saying these things to get a rise out of you. But there are some people who are serious. But you have to also understand the mind state of the person you're speaking with. If you're speaking with someone who is, you know, hyper-religious or ultra-religious, if you will, and this is all that they've known, let's say they've been indoctrinated since they were in the womb, this is all that they know. So they have to grow. So you can present the information and the knowledge to them. It's up to them as to whether they accept that or not.
Okay. Great show. Please continue and listen to me. Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. We'll put you back on hold here. So, you know, it's just interesting, you know, just different perspectives out there. But, yeah, you know, Raina, you're right to tell him, you know, not to sit there for hours and argue with someone about something. Either they're going to get it or they're not, or eventually they will, or eventually they won't. I mean, again, it's just about personal choice and opening your mind.
Right. I give up eventually. I mean, because people are going to have the way they think and the way they believe. And when it's especially when it's reinforced not only by religion but their peers. You know what I'm saying? Most of these dudes I see don't want any other dude to even imagine that they might be gay, even if they are. To me, the person who's trying the hardest to get the image that he's not probably is. But, you know what I'm saying, maybe that's another stereotype in itself. However, I just, you know, you got two different, you got society, you got their peers, you got religion, you got all this stuff backing up, plus the image of that hip-hop and other thing, and other avenues portray, that the idea of a man is this right here. This is what you should be. And a lot of people do not want to step outside that, so they're going to fight to be as manly as they can. And then you have some females who are just driven strictly by religion, and they're driven strictly by their own prejudice and misunderstanding of it. You know what I'm saying? And me being the person I am, I can't understand devaluing another human being. I don't care who they are. Well, within reason. You know, devaluing another human being simply because they do something that, even though I don't do, is not my choice to say that he shouldn't do it or she shouldn't do it. That's them. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand how you devalue another human being for doing that stuff, but it's a psychological thing or what have you.
Right. Exactly. And by devaluing another human being for believing in or doing whatever it is, that does not, you know, make you superior. Because mm-hmm. there are a lot of people out here who will devalue or put down someone or something else in an effort to make themselves more superior. And, you know, some of that is projection, and we have to recognize that. But, you know, again, you know, across the board, people are just human, and, you know, we need to get better at this acceptance thing. We need to get better at this affirming, better at this embracing, because at the end of the day, you know, we still have to live next door to one another. We still have to work with one another. We still, you know, have some type of interaction whatsoever. And, you know, you never know. You know, someone in your family may have a different ideology. Someone in your family may subscribe to a different type of sexuality, if you will. And, you know, I just feel that some of the issues that we see with some people, especially some of the mental health issues, is because people aren't allowed to be themselves, you know. And then you have other people beating up on you, beating you down, and not allowing you to be yourself. And it's not that they're not allowing you, because, again, you can be who or what you want to be. But because in this particular society, in this particular culture, you know, that groupthink, you know, is very strong, social conformity. And if you have the majority of people saying that homosexuality, bisexuality is wrong, even though naturally to you it's the right thing, there are some people that will succumb to, you know, that pressure. And, you know, it's just, it's detrimental and it's harmful. And we need to get better at that. And it's counterproductive to that sister's life as well as others because, you know, again, we have some adults that have succumbed to that, you know, pressure and that mindset. And we have some young people who see this. And so they feel as though this is how things are supposed to be done. But, you know, look at all of the suicides we're seeing. You know, that one case with the young man at the university at Rutgers that, you know, took his life because his, you know, roommate, you know, pretty much put him on blast, put him on Front Street there. And it's just wrong on so many levels. And, you know, the young
and
man.
No, and here's
you know,
the problem. Here's the problem. He didn't just put him on Front Street. He put his actual, he put an intimate act between him and another person on Front Street. It wasn't just, oh, he's gay, let's everybody point and laugh. He put his his sexual activity with another person out there.
Yeah, he streamed it live.
That's embarrassing enough if you're a straight person. You know what I mean?
And you're not a voyeur. Right.
Right.
But, yeah, definitely, you know, it is. It's embarrassing enough, you know, in any situation. If you don't want your intimate details out there, you know, let alone just the details, but showing the actual act itself. And that young man, you know, he even had stated before, and I think he had written it out, that his mother had rejected him. And so his mother had rejected him. His roommate just humiliated him. He felt as though he had nothing to live for. And that's not the case. And we really have to do better at, you know, all of this. And, you know, no one should be made to feel worthless. You know, you don't even have the right to make yourself feel worthless. But it happens often. And, you know, there's a difference between being self-deprecating and making yourself feel worthless. But, you know, it's interesting. We just have to do better, and we have to get out here and address these issues and define it. But also, again, I'll state, you know, about anything that we talk about and anything we do, we have to be patient enough to talk to people who call in and ask questions, people who are a little confused about things. You know, if we don't have the answers, it's okay to say, I don't know. Let me look around. It's okay to give someone the links to something that you may not fully understand. Give them the links to the information, pass them along to someone else who can answer questions. And those of you who are out there that have questions, please, any of us, we'll be happy to answer this. If we don't have it, we can pass you along to someone else. You know, and especially those of you who may happen to be a part of, you know, the LGBTQIA community. You know, if you're having, you know, some issues, whether it's with, you know, mental health issues, you know, regarding depression or, you know, it can just be a number of things. Honey, just know that you're not alone. There are quite a few of us out here that are members of the community, quite a few of us out here who are allies. And, you know, there are community and support groups. They have hotlines out there. They have that information. I think I'll post that a little bit later. I don't have it in front of me. But there are hotlines. Someone is supposed to get some information to me about LGBTQ resources for homeless gay youth, you know, in different cities. She's supposed to give me the information for Detroit. And I'm going to look up some information for the ones here in Chicago and other cities. And I believe there's a national hotline number as well, and I'll post that later. But especially to the young people, you know, I'm always talking to the young people. You know, you're definitely not alone. There's nothing wrong with you, honey. Don't believe that.
There's nothing
people
wrong
out here
with you. And not just for the LGBT kids, but, like,
right.
You know, the kids that are perceived to be LGBT. Because there's a lot of children out there who either don't know who they are or who may even be straight identified, but that are perceived to be, you know, gay or lesbian or trans or whatever by other people. And those kids are killing themselves too. Those kids are having a hard time too. I mean, this whole, you know, we have to start to, you know, change the way that we as a society treat
you know, people and make judgments about people based on, you know, sex or gender or orientation or race, you know, because, you know, it really does affect people, you know?
Right.
Right.
Right. I mean, when you got a woman being rebuked for saying vagina, and you got videos showing a group of guys who's supposed to be so masculine that it takes 5-6 of them to beat up one feminine gay guy, and you know you got a serious problem with attitude in this country, and well, in the world, really. And it really tears me out that you can sit there, you can devalue somebody that far to the point where you gang up and beat them up and everything, and I just think it's disgusting, and that's one of the reasons why I've seen those videos, and that's one of the reasons why I don't care how people perceive me. If they think I'm gay, cool, I gives a fuck, but at the same time, that attitude is causing people to be hurt, to be killed, and to take their own lives, and that's disgusting to me.
Exactly. No one should be made to feel as though death is the best alternative. That's not the answer. And again, no one should feel as though they have the power to, you know, devalue someone or make someone feel as though they are worthless or less than. We have to get better as individuals. We have to start, again, treating people with common human decency, dignity, and respect. And I harp on that. And, you know, there are situations and there are times in which, you know, that may not necessarily be the case, but, you know, we should strive to be above reproach in many of these cases. But anyway, you know, again, you know, great topic. You know, we're definitely going to have to pick this up again in the future. I want to let you guys know about next week's topic. Next week we are going to talk about social constructs. So social construction, are they necessary? Why do we need them? Where do they come from? Who benefits from them? So on and so forth. So, you know, we're talking about, you know.
Oh, you mean like patriarchy?
Say that again?
I said, oh, you mean like patriarchy?
Basically, yeah, patriarchy, matriarchy, you know, all of these things, you know, even religion and the church as a social construct. So, you know, I want to, you know, discuss all of those different things there so that people will see what's happening and understand what's happening, and we can define it. Because in many cases, I'm finding that people aren't understanding some of these things because they don't know what it means. They don't understand it because they don't know what it is. So we're trying to define these things. That's why we define the terminology today, and you know, definitely we want to get out there and you know, help you guys out. So yeah, we'll be defining social construct, we'll be defining patriarchy, so on and so forth. We'll even talk about groupthink and mob mentality, social conformity, you know, just, you know, social construction. So again, thank you guys, we appreciate you, and hey, have a lovely weekend. And those of you in the chat room, thank you. Those that are listening live, thank you. Those who are going to enjoy the archives, thank you very much. And you all, you have a great weekend now.
Okay. All right. Later.
Black free thinkers, baby. brain. In the way